Good morning once again. Good morning, yes. You know, we'll be wondering why the passage was so short today, the last two verses of Acts chapter 28. You know, many a times when we write a letter or an email, there are two important things, right? We want to make sure our introduction is good. Right, we want to start well with our introduction. Similarly, you know, we want to work on our conclusion to make sure that we get everything in the conclusion too. The passage that was just read to us is a very interesting way Dr. Luke ends the particular passage. He says, for 2 years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. It also says he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hesitation. You know, sometimes you might wonder, why did he conclude an interesting letter or the interesting writings where we see the acts of the Holy Spirit that is working on? Let's pray and ask God to help us as we engage in God's word today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because your word is alive and active. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice. We thank you for this month, which is a mission emphasis month of God. It's not just a month alone, but each and every moment we are sent by you, and we are sent congregation, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we will be asking, why did, you know, Dr. Luke end this record in such a manner? You know, the passage that we just read, you know, it is about Paul's, is in home arrest. There were several times Paul was in home arrest, for example, in Caesarea. He was there for 2 years. And then later on, after this particular event and in his life, you know, he was in prison for another 2 years in Rome. And it's almost like Paul is going to finish his life. So I was just wondering and asking myself, why did you know, Dr. Luke just end this letter here? He could have waited, because scholarship says that, you know, Luke wrote this in the year AD 70. In other words, he would have witnessed, you have heard about this great apostle who was sometimes a companion of him, you know, witnessing the gospel. And this great apostle was beheaded by the emperor Nero. He would have seen all this. He could have just brought this into the writing and challenged the congregation and believers. Can you imagine? This man of God gave his life. He could have, you know, finished his writings in that manner. Sometimes I wonder and I ask myself, why did Luke die early? According to scholarship, he died later. But why? Why do you want to complete, you know, your wonderful writing where you are showing how God has been working in the lives of people in such a manner? Right? Suddenly, he stops. You know, the more I dwell on scripture and the more I look at it, I think God has a way of doing things. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to know that the work of the gospel continues on. It doesn't stop with Paul. It doesn't stop with Luke. But the word of God continues on, not only this generation, but the next generation, the following generation. It continues on. And I believe, you know, the last chapter of this Acts of the Apostles will be written when the Lord Jesus Christ arrives. God always has a reason for, you know, ending this particular writing in such a manner. It was when I was reflecting on all these things, I realized the gospel continues on. During the first century, the Christians had a lot of difficulty because they were Christians. Can you imagine? It was a religion not accepted in those days. They were, you know, thrown into prison, and they were thrown into wild animals to be eaten. There was intense persecution, but the gospel continued on and on and on. Some of you would have read history, after Paul, after Paul leaves this particular place, after he dies, there was a season called the Emperor Decius was in reign. He was a cruel guy, cruel in the sense he saw that Christians were the most, the people that to be totally taken away, executed. They don't deserve to be living. And he made sure that, all the subjects of this land were worshipping the Roman gods. So if you don't have a certificate to show that you are worshipping the Roman god, then you will be penalized, imprisoned, or even been killed. Even after Paul, this man came, there was intense persecution, but the gospel continued on. Some of you would also know Caius, who was emperor during his time. There was an edict called tolerance. There was some kind of a tolerance for a while. But history shows, there were several persecutions that happened continuously the past 2,000 years, but Christianity continued to grow and grow, my friend. Even in the 18th century, some of you would have read about the French Revolution, right? If you look at the French Revolution very carefully, they wanted to do away with Christianity. They wanted to do away with priesthood. They wanted to take away the clergy of the church. They wanted to stop Christian rituals and worship. That was one of the motives of the French Revolution. But what happened? Because the Catholic Church was very strong in those days, Scripture, the message of God continued. I believe the Word of God continues, right? Even not only in our generation, but it will continue till we see Jesus face to face. And a couple of things that I like to see from this particular chapter or even this particular verse. The more I read, I see that God honors certain characters in our life. How can the gospel be found going on and on and on? As I shared, we have been given the baton to pass on. How are we dealing with this? Are we willing to pass the message? So once September is gone, mission month is forgotten? I don't think so, my friend. The scripture reminds us we are sent people. We are not only mission people, but we are sent with a mission, and God has given. Some great lessons that we learn from this great apostle, and two things about God who's faithful till the end. First thing, when I look at Paul, all of us know, he was very zealous. That's one of the great things that I learned about the Apostle Paul. He was a very zealous Christian, a zealous life that he had. Even before he came into Christianity, that was his spirit in Galatians chapter 1:14. He says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely jealous for the tradition of my fathers. That was his desire, that Judaism should continue, should penetrate into every household. And so he was against Christianity. And that is one of the characters I learned about this great man. He was zealous in whatever he did. In whatever he did, right? When you look at verses, he says in Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God that Israelites will be saved. And then Paul talks about another thing. It's one thing to be zealous, but are we zealous in the right thing? And so he addresses this by saying, for I can testify about them. He's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the people who are actually the teachers of the law. And he says, they were zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God. In other words, they were doing external religion. They were promoting traditions, but they did not have
the knowledge of the Messiah, that Jesus is the only one. They were not fully aware of the righteousness of God, the salvation that came from the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel. It's something to be zeal, but are we zeal about Christ? He was zeal about Judaism, but now he was very zealous about Christianity because he had a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that zeal should motivate us by, you know why? For the love of God controls us. You know, Paul says, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I spreading the word of God? Why should I go all this imprisonment? Why should I face all this persecution? You know, in life, we will say this is not worth it because this is one life. But Paul says, it is the love of God that controls me. I can't but preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the love of God. He was zealous because he knew and experienced God's love in his life. Nothing can stop him, my friend. I think I love that kind of character. You know, Paul, not only at this point of time, he also prayed that he will appear before Caesar. Yeah, that was his desire. Yeah, that was the call that God gave him, right? He even appeared to Caesar. Paul was so zealous. If you look at the passage very carefully, you know, he was in home arrest. He was chained to a Roman soldier. Every time there would be someone coming in, they had shifts. They began to realize that every Roman soldier was chained to Paul got converted. Can you imagine? He made it a point to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I might have told you about a church member back in Singapore. Maybe some of you might not know. Let me repeat it. Wonderful lady. When we were flying to Canada, you know, many years ago, she called and she wanted to say hi to us. She's a physician. Wonderful person. And she comes from a very staunch Hindu background. She was only Christian. She was administering a patient and somehow she caught a virus, severe virus, that she lost both her legs and two arms she lost. And it's always sad, my wife and I, whenever we visit her, she comes to church regularly with artificial hands and legs. Faithful. One of the first ones to come to church. And I realized she had a live-in maid. She had several live-in maids working for her. Every 2 years, you know, they will leave. But I began to understand that every time a maid comes, they see her, they're surprised, but then she shares a testimony and they leave that country as Christians. You know, I must say, you know, as a pastor, you know, I learned something about her. She had never complained to me why God allowed such illness. There was a time that she was bad in the hospital. I went to visit her. I was trying my best to make her talk to me about, you know, she feels bad, she is frustrated. But I left the room just challenged because she always shared the love of God. I think that was Paul. He was zealous wherever he was, my friend, because it was the love of God that stirred him. He has experienced God's love. But I can't stop but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that's the kind of people I think God honors and God is looking for. Today, how sad, right? How little things can stop people from serving God. Because someone said something stops people from serving God. But a great obstacle did not stop this great apostle. You know why? It is the love of God that controls him. Secondly, I learned another great thing that God honors is he was adaptable. Be adaptable. When you look at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, right, you will say, you know, he's a very firm man. Wow, very strong, defending the gospel. You know, scholars say he was a very short guy, but a very firm guy. He was zealous. He wanted to persecute the Christians. He wanted to murder the Christians. Can you see the kind of character that he was? Right? If he puts his foot down, that's it. No one can challenge him. That's a kind of character that we begin to see from this, from his writings. But then Paul was adaptable. That's another great thing that I learned about him. And I believe God honors that. Right? You know, when he was in Rome, in this particular place, what's happening? He was chained to a Roman soldier. So Paul could have said, Lord, you know, whenever I go to a place, I always go to synagogue. Look at Paul's way of ministry. He always goes to a city. He goes to a synagogue, you know, to talk to the leaders of the law and the Pharisees on those days. And then he goes to the marketplaces where people gather. That was his strategy. That was the way he always did his ministry. That was his methodology. Paul could have said, you know, Lord, you know, this is the way I do things. This is the way I bring the message of the gospel. But what's happening here? He is chained and he is in a rented place, in home harassed. He could have said, Lord, I can't because I'm stuck in this place. What should I do? If you look at it, you know, in verse 17, Paul was a bit more flexible. In other words, he did not want to compromise the gospel, but he wanted to find ways of doing things. What happened? As I said, you know, Paul's life is always going to the synagogue first, going to the marketplace where people will meet, you know, and that's the, then he goes house to house. That was his strategy. But here in verse 17, you read, 3 days later, he called together local Jewish leaders. Something new. He told himself, maybe let me try, right? Because you don't see Paul doing this. He was adaptable because he wanted to make sure that his people understand and know the love of God. He said, you know, let me call. I believe he had done it prayerfully. He called, and thank God, right? They came together. They came together, and Paul, you know, was able to talk to them about his imprisonment. He was able to see different ways of bringing the gospel. Because I can't be just sitting down alone, not sharing the gospel, because that's not me. Like D.L. Moody said, you know, sharing the gospel is my business. There is none other business but sharing the gospel. And he found ways. He was flexible. And not only that, what happened? I think you look at the passage very carefully, right? Then, in verse 23, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day. In other words, you know, sometimes as Christians, this is one of the mistakes we tend to do. What do? The first day we meet the person, we say everything, right, about God, which is good. I'm not saying no. But he did not unload everything, right? And he made it a point that he will talk to them again. And then they arranged to meet Paul. And they came in a larger number. He witnessed to them from morning till evening. He did not unload everything, right? But then the second day, the third day, he met them. He explained the kingdom of God. And what happened? He talked to them about the law of God. You know, one thing I learned about this great man of God, he was able to share the full gospel. Right? I think missions is, you know, why today some Christians are not able to be firm. Because I think they have not heard the full gospel. Paul shared the full gospel right from the law of Moses, the prophets, and then he brought Jesus. Can you imagine? It was not just the four scriptural laws, which is wonderful, which is good. But he was able to talk to them about the law, which was important to the Jews in those days. They were very dogmatic.
I believe he was able to speak to about the prophets, saying, you know, what was the word of God through the prophets about sin, about righteousness. Because from morning till evening, there are so many things he was teaching them. It's important, my friend, to bring the full gospel. And then you'll see people being much more rooted. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, right? Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? I'm trying to please people. I would not be a servant of God. In other words, he wanted to do things in a way that will honor God, my friend. He brought the full gospel to these people. I think today we need to be, you know, finding different ways of reaching out people, different ways of bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to give the full gospel that saves life. Secondly, you know, I have a couple more things. You know, be patient, right? And I hope you'll be patient with me too. Paul was there for 2 years, it says in verse 30. It says, for 2 years Paul stayed. So 2 years, can you imagine? I was just trying to imagine. You know, Paul, very zealous guy, always, you know, didn't want to waste his time, like John Wesley said, waste no time. Right? He didn't want to waste any time. He will always go and preach the gospel. Can you imagine this man who was so zealous about promoting the gospel, been caught in a place 2 years? But then, you know, he was, the word patience here, you know, in the Greek, it's a different word altogether, right? It means, though he was there, he was still persistent, right? He could have seen as a 2 years of waste or 2 years of opportunity. He was very patiently speaking God's word in a different way altogether. Sometimes I think God wants us to exercise patience. If you realize, I think patience is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tribulation comes, but we need to be patient. Difficulties come, but we need to be patient. Opposition comes, but we need to be patient. Paul could have easily given up, but then he was still patient. And so Paul would say, if you meet him in heaven, he will say, I have 2 years of wonderful ministry, you know, in this rented place. Every soldier was converted. I had an opportunity to speak to many. It was not 2 years of waste, but 2 years of patiently depending on God. Let me finish with two things. You know, God honors such characters. God wants people who are zealous. God wants people, you know, who are patient, and then I think who are adaptable, who are finding new ways where the Spirit of God is leading them. Two things I will just briefly share and we will pray. You know, God is faithful in this particular passage. Where do I see God's faithfulness? Look at the word very carefully. It says, Paul stayed in his own rented house. It's nice to read, rented place. But I was asking myself several questions when I was reading. You know, in his own rented place, that's nice, right? He was house arrest. But where did Paul get the money? Where did he get the money? Some of us might think, you know, maybe he was, you know, he was a Pharisee and probably he inherited money from his parents. Scripture is very silent about his family. But in those days, if you become a Christian, you don't have the inheritance. The inheritance is not given to you. If you realize, wherever Paul went, he was involved in tent making. He found ways and means of supporting his ministry, right? He was not dependent on people. He did tent making. That was the way he did. But in his own rented house, in those days, 2 years, you know, not only you stay in your own rented house, but you need to find food for yourself. That was the thing, my friend. You need to find food for yourself. You need to feed yourself. You need clothing. I see God's faithfulness in this. Maybe scripture is very silent, but I believe, you know, God is faithful in providing. providing the needs to continue with the ministry that has been given to him. Right? For a moment I thought, you know, God was so good. Why? It was a rented house. It was not a prison. It was not a dungeon. In those days, the Roman prisons were so bad. This was like a rented place. In other words, there was some kind of comfort here. Right? Not too much of comfort, but a bit of comfort. Probably God gave him some extras here. God is faithful because Paul was faithful. God provides, my friend. When I was reading this, I was just reminded of Elijah. Right? God provided Elijah through the ravens. If you read in 2 Kings, you'll see that God sent the ravens to feed Elijah. Not, you know, if you read very carefully, you know, each and every day, twice a day, the ravens will come and feed Elijah. God is faithful. When we do God's work, God is faithful in providing, my friend. God provided a place for Paul, a bit of comfort, someone to pay the rent, someone to bring food for this great apostle for 2 years, not 1 month, but for 2 years. God is faithful. And as a church, as Christians, and we engage in God's word, God is faithful to help us. Lastly, let me finish with this. You know, we also see, you know, what's happening. You know, God is sovereign. In verse 31, it says, boldly and without hindrance, right? He preached the kingdom of God. There was no hindrance. In other words, I think no one was able not only to stop the work of Paul, but no one was able to stop the work of the gospel. That is the meaning of the word here. That means God is sovereign. If I don't share, there will be someone sharing the gospel. If NCAC doesn't share the gospel, you know, let me tell you, God has another church in mind to share the gospel. God's word will continue, whether we like it or not, my friend, because God's sovereignty is seen without hindrance, not only to Paul, but to other people, my friend. So it's our responsibility to share the word of God. The Acts of the Apostle, I was reading this great scholar, very interesting. There was internal struggles in the church. There were external opposition, but the word of God penetrated. It penetrated. God is sovereign. You know, God has given to us. If we fail, let me tell you, the gospel doesn't fail. God has another church or another people in mind. It's our Christian responsibility to share. Let me close with this story. It's about how big a God. It's about a little girl, right? She was very regular to Sunday school. So one day she came back to her dad and said, "Dad, how big is Jesus?" Interesting question. If your kid come and ask you that question, then we might say, you know, don't ask me such questions, right? But the dad says, you know, he's bigger than me. And then she said, oh, yes, oh, okay. So you mean, Dad, that Jesus is bigger than you? No, the dad was he was big size guy. Yeah, Jesus is bigger than me. Kids, right? So she was trying to imagine, Jesus is bigger than my dad. So she was puzzled. And she said, you know, she was looking at her dad, and dad looked at her face and asked, dear, you know, why? She said, my Sunday school teachers told me something. She said, you know, I should have Jesus in my heart. And she told her dad, if Jesus is so big, bigger than you, if I have Jesus in my heart, he will definitely stick out. He will be visible. So she started imagining, if Jesus is so big, if he comes into my heart, he will be sticking out of my body. When I read this, and I was very fascinated, I said, you know, true. if Jesus is in our heart, he will stick out. Because he's bigger. He's mightier. But today, who is sticking out, my friend? Is it Jesus? If Jesus is in my heart, in your heart, he will be visible. He can be seen by others. What are people seeing in us? I believe when they saw Paul, they knew Jesus. They saw Jesus in him. Let's pray. We might wonder, the young girl was so strange in imagination. Though it might sound strange, but how true. If Jesus is bigger than my dad, and if he is in my heart, he will stick out. If Jesus is bigger, he will stick out. How big is our God, my friend, today? Or how small is our God today? If he's big, he will stick out. People will know. They will know who you are. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Lord, we want Jesus to be seen by others through our lives, O Father. Let people see you in us. In Jesus' name we pray.